Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bofa Metzia Daf Pei Hei. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the mark Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the top line of Daf Pei Hei. At the very end of our previous shiur, we noted three people, three famous personalities that were of exceptional humility. One was the father of Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi. As we saw in our previous year, he referred to himself as a shual in describing his son, Rebbe. So the father, Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel, referred to his son as Ari ben Shual. You, my son, are a lion, the son of myself, a fox. In contrast to Rebbe Elozer, Rebbe Shimon, who was referred to as an Ari ben Ari. So that self-effacement, if you will, is a manifestation of humility. The other two, B'nai B'Seira and Yonosan ben Shol, we will discuss them right now as we pick up the Gemara. So after having cited the three personalities, technically speaking, B'nai B'Seira, they're a couple, so it's a total of four, Rabbon Shimon ben Gamliel, Hod Amoran, the manifestation of the humility is that which we said, that he referred to himself as a shual. He described his son Rebbe as Ari ben Shual. B'nai B'Seira, Diom Amor, and here the Gemara is very terse, and here the Gemara is making reference to an incident that happened in Maseches Psachim, where a halachic issue arose, and the leaders of the Jewish community in Israel, they were the B'nai B'Seira, and they did not know the answer. And came along Hillel, who arose from Bovel to Eretz Israel, and he had the answer. And seeing that that Hillel had, we'll say, more Talmudic knowledge, certainly in with respect to this the particular question that was dealt with over there in Psachim, so they reasoned, if this man has more knowledge than we, he should be the leader. So they surrendered their position in favor and handed it over to Rebbe, appointing him the Nasi. That's quite an act of humility. How easy is it for someone to give up one's lofty position? Yet they were able to do it. And number three, let's read the Gemara. B'nai B'Seira Diom Amar Hoshivuhu Barosh. The B'nai B'Seira sat him, appointed him. That's Hillel Habavli Uminuhu LaNosi Aleihem. So they sat him at the head and appointed him to be the Nasi, the leader over them. Yonasan ben Shaul, that's Yonasan, the son of King Shaul, this King Saul. As many of you are probably familiar, he had a deep friendship with David, who eventually became King David. The Ka'omar Le David, Yonasan saw the popularity of David. Yonasan was the prince, he was next in line of ascendancy to the throne. And yet, what did Yonasan say to David? V'atotim lo chal Yisrael. You be the leader over Israel, be the king over Israel. I'll be your second in command. Quite an act, an expression of humility, of anova. The Gemara takes issue with this conclusion and says, Mimai, who is to say that the aforementioned expressions are expressions of anova, of humility? Dilma, it could be, looking at the third example, Yonasan ben Shaul, the Chaza de Gora Amor Basadov, but he simply saw that the masses were, Gori were drawn after Boser, after David, and it's a matter of we'll call it self-preservation or practicality, that he said, look, the masses are following you. Of what use will it be for me to ascend to the throne while the masses are following you? So you take over the throneship, and I will be your second in command. That's not an expression of humility so much as a recognition of reality. And likewise, number two, B'nai B'seiro Nami, the Chazul Lil de Odif Minai. They noticed, they recognized that he was Odif, was better, was more than they. So if you have someone who's of greater scholarship capacity, appoint him to be the head. El Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, the father of Reb Yudah Nasi, Vadai Anvison Havahi, was definitely an Onof. There was no alternative explanation to explain why he referred to himself as a shu'al, a rather lowly creature, certainly relative to a lion, other than he was a man of humility. Omar Rebbe. We're continuing with the general agodos that we had started in our previous shiur. Rebbe had, we learned, had wanted to marry the widow of Rebbe Elozer Reb Shimon, and the widow had pointed out that Rebbe Elozer Reb Shimon was so great in so far as he was able to withstand and appreciate Yisurin, appreciate suffering. So, Omar Rebbe, Chaviven Yisurin. We take a look at the Rashi on the third line from the top. Chaviven Yisurin, Shira Shel Ilu Yisurin, Shel Rebbe Elozer, Shelo Shalta Bo Rima. Rebbe noted that the Yisurin, the suffering that Rebbe Elozer Reb Shimon had sustained, saved him from Rima. Rima is the decomposition, the rotting that a corpse experiences in death. And we saw in our previous Gemara how that did not affect Rebbe Elozer Rebbe Shimon. So Rebbe wanted to, we'll say, benefit from that. And he said that Yisurim are chaviven, are desirable. Kibel ole tresar shoni. He accepted upon himself 13 years of affliction. Shis betsamirta, six of those years were samirta. Rashi says, Evan shebemokum ktanim. Evan is a stone where the person's urine passes through. It could be similar to maybe a what we refer to as a kidney stone or something in that area of the human anatomy, but one who experiences that experiences great pain. Vesheva betzafarno, 7 years of tzafarno. Rashi says tzafirno choyli shebesoch hapeh. It's some type of oral malady, and he gives you a French word for it. The Amri law, another version in the, we're back in the Gemara on the third wide line, another version, Shiva betzamirto v'shis betzafarna. In other words, the numbers we just gave, this second version switches around. 7 years of tzamirto and 6 years of tzafarna. Aharu rei, ahurai rei debei rebi. The word ahurai rei has a couple of explanations. One is the one who was in charge of Rebbe's horses, his stable man, if you will. It's noted elsewhere that Rebbe was a man of fantastic wealth. He was paralleled in wealth to the Roman emperor, even. So, amongst his holdings, his vast holdings were large stocks of horses. So the description or the reference here is to the one who supervised or was in charge of his horses. Another pshat that you'll find in the Tosfos over here, and also you find in the Ritva, that it's a reference to the waste, the dung coming forth from his horses. Dung is a useful material as serving as fertilizer. So it's something of value. The Ahure de Bei Rebbe have a osir mishovur malka. Either the horse supervisor of Rebbe or the amount of horse dung in Rebbe's possession was greater than the wealth of the Persian monarch, Shavur Malka, King Shafur. Kadhavaromi kista lechiyusa, when the animals were being fed. Kista is a reference to animal feed. So when the maybe in the context of the story here, when the horses were being fed, have also kala betlosa mili, the sound that they made, the whinnying sound that they made, traveled over a distance of 3 mili. 3 mili is the equivalent of we'll say 3 kilometers. It was, in other words, a very large, very loud noise, audible at great distances, was produced when they were being fed. What's the significance of their great noise? You'll see right now. Have mechaven, the horse feeder, or the horse supervisor, timed it. The Rami Bahu Shaita Dayo Rebbe LeBeisakise, that they would be fed at the time that Rebbe went to the facilities to relieve himself. We mentioned before that he suffered numerous years of something in the, we'll say, in the urinary tract. So, and Rebbe experienced great pain, and accompanying pain is also cries of pain. Ve'afilu hachi ma'aver le kolei lekalaihu v'shamu le nechusiyama. Even though the horse supervisor timed the horse feeding with the loud noise that accompanied that activity, nevertheless, Rebbe's cries of pain superseded the sounds of those animals, and the cries were heard were by seafarers, the Nechusei Yoma. Ve'afilu hachi, and with all of that we just described, Yisurei de Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon Adifi Miderebi, the suffering of Rabbi Elazar Shimon is considered of, we'll say, greater quality, greater significance than the suffering of Rebbe. Why? De'ilu Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon me'avo ba'u u'me'avo holchu. They came as from a perspective of avav, of love, and they departed in that capacity. The Rebbe's Yisurin al yaday ma'ase bo val yaday ma'ase holchu. They started as a result of an incident. Now, just a technical point that one would have to resolve and explain something that we're not able to do at this very point. Mention was made on the second wide line of the Gemara where Rebbe said Chavivin Yisurin, and yet the Gemara is saying that Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon, he experienced them Me'ahava, and putting it on a higher pedestal than Rebbe's encounter with the Yisurin that came as a result of a Maisa. What is that? Well, we have triangles here, and two lines later, and on the side of the Gemara, under our Mivneh heading, we indicate the highlighting of these expressions, Ayadei Maisa Bo or Holchu, B'shoneh Mi'isurin Shereb Elazar Reb Shimon Shebo V'Holchu Me'avo. The Gemara, Ayadei Maisa Bo, Ma'hi, what do you mean, or what are you referencing when you say that the afflictions of Rebbe came to him through an incident? And here it is. Dahu egla, there was a calf. Dava komamtu le lishchito, that was being taken to slaughter. Also talya lereshe bekanfe de Rebbe v'kobochi. This calf, on its way to slaughter, somehow either escaped or ran to Rebbe and put its head under Rebbe's coat. And the calf started to cry. The impression that one gets is that the calf was aware of what it was going to experience, namely slaughter. Omar lay Rebbe in a, we'll say in a non-compassionate fashion, responded in a cold fashion. Responded, zeal go lekach notzarta, you were formed for this. In other words, people raise calves for slaughter. So go to your slaughter. No expression of compassion from Rebbe's standpoint. Amri, so it was said, Hoyo velo komarachem, since he doesn't show mercy or compassion, leisu ole isurim. So let him suffer from pain, from affliction. Then, after many years, they departed, but through an incident. Yuma chad, one day, Kansho Amse de Rebbe Besa. The maid servant of Rebbe was Kansha, was sweeping Besa, his house. She was sweeping out the house. Have Shadyon Bnei Karkushta Vekokansha Lahu. There on the floor were cast these creatures. Bnei Karkushta, it's the expression or the term used for Bnei Chulda. What a Chulda is. There are different translations that I have encountered, either rats or weasels, some type of, we'll call sheret, some type of lowly crawling creature that was there on the floor, and she was sweeping it out. Omar lo, Rebbe said, Shavkinu, leave them be. Don't toss them out or kick them out with your broom. Ksiv, the Pasuk says, V'rachamov al kol ma'asov, that the Almighty shows mercy on all his creatures, and we, mankind, are expected to follow in the ways of the Almighty. Amri, it was declared, Hayol umerachem, since he shows compassion, nerachem ole, let us have compassion for him, and so from heaven he was relieved of his suffering. Kulu shnei yisuri, Rabbi Elazar, all the years, shnei means years of Yisuri, of the suffering of Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, lo shochav inish below zimnei. No one died prematurely. People lived out their entire lifespan. Kulu shoni Yisuri de Rebbe, all the years of the suffering of Rebbe, lo itzrich almo lemitra. The world required no rain. If we skip the bracketed section for a moment, the Gemara points out, in reference to the no need for rain during the years of Rebbe's Yisurim, we had 13 years of Yisurim, so for 13 years there was no rain. Afilu hachi, do you notice how we skipped the couple lines? Afilu hachi ki havu akri pugla mi mishra. Even though there was no rainfall for all those years, when they would uproot, a pugla is a type of vegetation, a root kind of vegetation. It would, Rashi says, tznon. Tznon in modern Hebrew is translated as a radish. But in Gemara markings, we always do not guarantee that the modern Hebrew translation of words is necessary, that which is reflected in Talmudic literature. But nevertheless, it's a type of root vegetable that that the Gemara describes when being uprooted, mimishra, from the row in which it grew, have a kaima bira malya maya. The hole that was left in the ground would fill up with water. Now, we skipped a couple of lines. Let's go over that. All the years of Rebbe suffering, the Gemara pointed out, there was no necessity of rainfall. The Omar Rabo Bar Rav Shilo Koshi. Now, what we see in the brackets, I should point out ahead of time, is a description of rainfall as being something that, though is beneficial, the experience of the rainfall is something that presents a hardship. So that we can appreciate this idea that during Rebbe's time of suffering, that he was, we'll say, absorbing the pain, the world did not have to go through the pain of rainfall, and at the same time didn't experience any loss of water, as we just saw when we skipped the brackets. So that's what we're seeing now in the brackets, the discomfort that the rainfall itself presents. The Omar Rabba Bar Avshilo Koshi Yoimo de Mitra, difficult or strainful is the day of rainfall, Ki Yoimo de Dino, like the day of judgment. The Omar Amemar, and Amemar points out, Ilav the Tzorach La'almo, if the world in general didn't need rain, if it was something that was unnecessary, Bo Rabbon and Rachmi Ole Umavatli Le, the rabbis would pray and stop it and cancel it. Afilu Achi, And even so, what? That there was no rainfall during those years of Rebbe's suffering? As we explained before. We have a new marking, a volcano shape, a trapezoid, and on the side of the Gemara under our Nosei/Mivneh heading, the Nosei topic heading, Mivneh structural note, Rebbe Metabo B'tzetzoim Shel Gedolim Sheyordu Min HaDerech. We have a truly fascinating description of Rebbe's practice of pursuing the descendants of great rabbinic figures. And I imagine that to some of you this might sound surprising, but some very great rabbinic figures in Jewish history, their descendants did not follow in their righteous predecessors' ways. If it doesn't sound surprising, then all the better. We can see that this is a phenomenon of great rabbinic figures. The Gemara points out, if I'm not mistaken, Maseches Nedarim, why is it that the sons of Torah scholars are themselves not Torah scholars? And the Gemara answers so that it should not appear that Torah wisdom, Torah proficiency, is a function of inheritance. In these particular stories, not only were the descendants featured in the Gemara not Torah scholars, but they actually chose a life path that was to the, we'll say, the other extreme, the opposite, almost we'll call it immoral lifestyle. Now the Gemara. Ikla Rebbe Le'asre D'Reb Lozer Reb Shimon. Here the two figures come together again. Rebbe went to the town, the city of Reb Lozer Reb Shimon. We had pointed out earlier that Reb Lozer Reb Shimon had passed away before Rebbe did. Rebbe outlived him. And Rebbe visits his community. Amar Leh, Rebbe asks, Yeshlo ben Le'isai Tzadik? Is there a son that is here of that particular righteous man? Omru lo, yesh lo ben. He has a son. And now you're going to hear a thing or two about him. This marking, this house marking, is used, as we often use in Gemara markings, simply to show a type of balance or repetition in Gemara structure. So we're going to have this expression, v'chol zayna, repeated in the next story. And the Gemara says, v'chol zayna sheniskeres b'shnayim. If you were to encounter, we'll say, a zona, a harlot, a woman of the night, and you would have to pay her two coins, whatever it is, $2, $200, or whatever, but two, sochraso b'shmoneh, that very zona would hire him. You know, she would be desirous of being with him, with this son of Reb Lozer Reb Shimon, and pay eight b'shmoneh, pay fourfold that what she would be able to make for her providing services to the regular customers. So we are given an impression that this man was sought out for acts of intimacy of an immoral nature. Asya Asmeche Berebi, that is Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, sought out this son of Reb Lozer Reb Shimon. He Asmeche Berebi, he granted him, a special rabbinic license. He would be called Rebbe, and there are more halachas that are associated with this concept of asmeche, or we call smicha, but for our purposes it's sufficient for us to say that he bestowed upon him the honor of referring to him as the rabbi. V'ashlemei l'Rabbi Shimon ben Isi ben Lekunya ach v'di'imei. And Rebbe then gave charge of this young man to be under the charge of Rabbi Shimon ben Isi ben Lekunya. This man was the brother of his mother, so his uncle. Kol yoima have Omar, and every day this son of Rabbi Shimon would say, "Oh, I want to go back to my city. Le karaisi ana azil, Azel. I want to go back home, so to speak. I don't want to." stay here with all of your with all of your Torah education and Yiddishkeit, etc. I want to go home. Omar Lei. So Rabbi Shimon says, Chochim after Yasach, you're going to be made into a scholar. The Gulsa the Dava Parsualach, and once you gain great scholarship, you'll be able to wear a special golden cloak. The Rebbe Korulach, and they'll call you Rabbi. All of this honor, you want to give all this up? V'yad amris the karaisian ha'ezel, and you say want to go back home? Omar Lei, well, upon hearing that, an offer you can't refuse. Mumi azuva da. Mumi is an expression meaning I swear. I'm leaving that. I'm leaving my desires to leave. I'm going to stick it out. Ki gadol also Yosef b'misifta the Rebbe. When he got older, he ended up sitting in the yeshiva, in the Torah Academy of Rebbe Shamei Lekalei. Rebbe heard his voice. Omar and Rebbe said, now you have to appreciate that many years have passed, and there's probably a big crowd in Rebbe's yeshiva, and all that Rebbe heard was a voice, and Rebbe's reaction was, Hakala Dami Lekalei de Rebbe Shimon. That voice reminds me of the voice of Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon. Amrulei, they told Rebbe Brehu, that's his son. Kori Alei, Rebbe referred to him, the Pasuk, Pri Tzadik Eitz Chaim V'lokeach Nefoshes Chacham. Now, the Gemara explains the relevance of this Pasuk. Pri Tzadik Eitz Chaim, the fruit of the Tzadik, is a tree of life. Zeh Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. That is this man who is in fact a very great Tanaic figure, and we'll see that in a few lines, how great he was. And look at his origin. Look at his roots. Look at his, on the one hand, he has great genealogical roots, but look at his, we'll say, social behavior roots. And look what he became. And it says, "V'lokeach nefoshes chacham," the one who acquires spirits or souls is a wise man. What is that a reference to? Zeh Rabbi Shimon ben Isi ben Lekunya. That is a reference to the Rabbi Shimon, the man that made Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Lazar into what he was. And so the pasuk refers to him as one who acquires souls is a wise man. Kinoch nafshei, when eventually Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Lazar died, Amtuhu Lemarta Davor, they brought him, the deceased, to the cave where his father was buried. In our previous Gemara, we saw what happened there in the with regard to the burial of Rabbi Lazar Shimon together with his father, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoi. So they brought now Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoi's grandson, the son of Rabbi Lazar, to the cave where his father was buried. There was, again, as we saw in our previous Gemara, a serpent that was coiled up, sealing off the entrance to the cave. Omar Lei, it was said to the serpent, Achno Achno Psach Pichov Yikones Ben Eitzelaviv, beseeching the serpent to open its mouth. And we explained in our previous Gemara, the serpent, when coiled up, holds the tip of its tail in its mouth, and thereby, we'll say, sealing off the entrance. If it would release its hold on its tail, so it would create a type of passageway that the people could enter. So they asked it to open its mouth, the Kones ben Eitzelaviv, and let the son, Rabbi Yosi, go in to be next to his father, Rabbi Lazar, lo poscholo. And the serpent did not yield. Kisvur mom lomar, the people that had accompanied the deceased, figured, Shezeh godol mizeh, the father is greater than the son, and hence it's not dignified for a lesser to be buried next to the greater. Yotzo baskolomer, a heavenly voice came forth and announced, Lo mitnei shezeh godol mizeh. So here you see that it's not accurate to say that Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Shimon, was greater than his son. Elozeh hoya b'tzar m'ora, v'zeh lo hoya b'tzar m'ora. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon experienced alongside his father, as the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos describes on Daf Lamed Gimel, the numerous years that the two, Rabbi Elazar and his father, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, experienced in the cave in their escape from the clutches of the Roman Empire, and they in total self-sacrificed, dedicated many years, over a decade of time, to the study of Torah under the most restrictive circumstances imaginable. And in that merit, Rabbi Elazar Shimon was on a, we'll say, on a higher pedestal than his son, but not in terms of Torah scholarship. So he, the Rabbi Elazar Shimon, experienced tsar, the pain of the more of the cave, and the son did not. Ikla Rebbe le'asrei de Rebbe Tarfon. Rebbe visits the town of Rebbe Tarfon. Rebbe Tarfon, a very great Tanaic figure, a contemporary of Rebbe Akiva, so we're speaking about a generation or two earlier than Rebbe. So he, that is, Rebbe Tarfon lived before Rebbe. Omar Lahu, Rebbe asks, Yeshlo ben le'oisei tzadik shei mekapeach hezbonov. Does that righteous man who used to mekapeach hezbonov? That's an expression that was unique to Rebbe Tarfon. When he wanted to make a point, he would say, "Akapeach hezbonai." If so to speak, I am wrong, then let my sons be cut off. So he used to make reference to cutting off of his sons in order to emphasize whatever he was trying to say. So he gained that reputation as the tzaddik, the righteous one that used to cut off his sons. Omru lo. So they informed Rebbe. Ben ain lo. No, he doesn't have any sons. Ben bas yeshu, but a grandson, the son of his daughter, he does have. And a similar description as we saw before. Bechal zaynish niskeres b'shnayim sechrosu b'shmoina. Any harlot that herself would be hired and paid to, she would pay 8 to be with him, the grandson of Rebbe Tarfon. As Yehu Lekame, they brought him to Rebbe. Omar Le, Rebbe says, I hachris boch, yahivna loch bartoi. If you come back, you come back to the, we'll say, the Torah way, the right way, then I will give you in marriage my daughter. Hodar Be, well, he bought that. And he, Chodarbe, he came back. Iko di Amri Nosva Vigir. So one version is he in fact married Rebbe's daughter and divorced her. Iko di Amri Lo Nosva Klal. Another version is he didn't actually marry her in the end. Kedeshelo Yomru, so that people shouldn't say Bishvil Zu Chazar Zeh. This is would seem to be an expression of righteousness that he did not want people to say that the only reason he came back to proper Jewish living was for the girl. Now the Gemara asks regarding Rebbe, Veloma le kule hai. What reason is there for Rebbe to go out of his way to seek out the children, the descendants of others, asking does so and so have a son? The Alma Rav Yehuda Marav. We have several versions of names here. V'yamri, another version of names, is Omar Abchio Bar Abba Omar Rabbi Yochanan, and on third version, V'yamri L'Omar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Omar Rabbi Yonison. You now understand what Rebbe's benefit was. Kol Hamalamed as Ben Chavero Torah. He who teaches the son of his friend, of his colleague, Torah, Zeche V'yoshev Yeshiva Shemala, will merit being seated in the heavenly yeshiva, the heavenly Torah academy. Shenemar, and the pasuk that bears this out, it says im toshuv vashivcha lefanai tamod. Im toshuv vashivcha lefanai tamod. If you come back, then you will merit standing in my presence. That is, of course, a reference to the Almighty. V'chol hamalamed is ben am haoretz Torah, and he who teaches the son of an ignoramus Torah. That's or not applicable to the stories that we had above, certainly not the first story, but nevertheless, another statement of one who teaches someone else, in this case the son of an ignoramus, Afilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Gozer Gzeira. Even if the Almighty issued an edict, a ruling, issued a verdict of guilt, Mevatlo B'Shvilo, the Almighty will cancel that verdict in honor or in the merit of He who teaches the children of ignoramuses Torah. Shenemar, the same pasuk, it continues. The pasuk we just quoted, the line before, continues, V'im totzi yakar mizolel kefi siyeh. The pasuk makes reference to bringing forth yakar, that which is precious, from that which is zolel, from that which is cheap. A reference to the producing of a Torah scholar from someone who descended from an ignoramus. Omar of Parnach, Omar of Yochanan, Kol Shehu, Talmud Chacham, Ubeno Talmud Chacham, Uben Beno Talmud Chacham. He who is himself a Torah scholar, and his son a Torah scholar, and his grandson a Torah scholar, Shuv Ein Torah Poisekes Mizar Oi L'Oilom. That will merit the continuity of Torah amongst their descendants forever. Shenamar, the pasuk says, "Vani zois prisi, oisom amar Hashem, ruchi asher alecha lo yomushu." Lo yomushu means will not depart. Mipicha, umipi zaracha, umipi zera zaracha, amar Hashem yatov yadolam. I have my own personal explanation. You can take it or leave it, as they say. We made reference earlier to a Talmud Chacham, the phenomenon of a Talmud Chacham's children not themselves being Talmidei Chachamim. And we explained, based on the Gemara in Nedarim, that it should not be said that Torah is gained through inheritance. So it would then appear that the likelihood of a Torah scholar having a son that's a Torah scholar would be against all odds, so to speak. In other words, something difficult to achieve because it's running against the opposite force of the avoidance of the appearance that Torah is something gained through inheritance. Therefore, and it comes in this Gemara and says, if there's a family that is so dedicated to Torah study that the Talmud Chacham, in fact, is able to have a son that's also a Talmud Chacham, an expression of surmounting great obstacles, and still he's able to become a Talmud Chacham, and that repeats itself in a third generation, then we say they truly deserve, for having overcome such obstacles, the merit of having Torah continue into all the subsequent generations. The Gemara continues, "My Omar Hashem." In the pasuk that we read, just the line before it had said, "Vanizos brisi oisom Omar Hashem." You notice we wrote that in between the lines. What is that a reference to? Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Orev L'cha B'davar Zeh. I guarantee this. And we just mentioned that if you have three generations of Torah scholarship, I guarantee that Torah study, Torah proficiency will continue into subsequent generations. Mai Me'atov Yad Olam. What does that refer to from now till ever? Omar Reb Yirmiyahu, Mikan V'Eilech. From that point on, from the fourth generation on, Torah mechazeres al achsanya shalom. The Torah itself seeks out its host. Achsanya is a host, an inn. So that if you have a family that for three generations maintained Torah scholarship, that family becomes the host of Torah, and the Torah seeks them out. We have a new marking on the side of the Gemara under our Nosei / Mivneh heading. Rabbonim, rabbis, sheyoshvu taniyos l'shem Talmud Torah, that sat in fasting for the purpose of excelling, gaining an advantage in Torah study. The dashed underline that you see, if you observe the Torah, the Gemara text, you see following Rav Yosef a dashed underlining of the word Yosef three times, and the next figure that's featured, Rabbi Zerah, likewise three fastings. And each one of these fastings, we note, Gimel Tanios Kol Echad Yomim Rabim, three fasting periods, each one of them lasting numerous days. So now the Gemara. Rav Yosef Yosef Arboin Tanisa. Rav Yosef observed 40 fast days. Vakriyuhu Lo Yomushu Mipicha. And he was informed, it was reported to him from heaven, the verse that we read before, these words, Lo Yomushu Mipicha. In the merit of so many fastings, the Torah Lo Yomushu will not depart Mipicha from your mouth. Yosef Arboim Taniso Achrini. He observed another series of 40 fasts. Viakrihu, and again from heaven they proclaimed, Lo Yomushu Mipicho Mipi Zaracha. Not only will the Torah not depart from you, but not depart from your sons. Yosef Arboim Taniso Achrini, also Viakru Lo Yomushu Mipicho Mipi Zaracha Mipi Zera Zaracha. And with that third series of fasts of 40 days, other versions have as printed in the Gemara 100 fasts, he merited that his grandchildren will become Torah scholars. Omar, Rabbi Yosef then concluded, Mikan ve'ech lo tzarichna, beyond this, once I have achieved this promise, so to speak, that my third generation will be Torah scholars, I don't have to do anything more, because Torah mechazeras al achsan yisho, as we saw before, the Torah itself will seek out its host. Rabbi Zerah kisolek le'arad Yisrael. Rabbi Zerah, who we'll say started his Torah studies in Bavel, eventually he arose to the land of Israel. Yosef mea tanisa. Here the numbers change. You have your 100 fasts. Here, if we translate, it might sound a little odd, but he fasted 100 fasts to forget the Gemara study of Bavel. Kihechi delo nitrade. There's a Rashi that offers a bit more depth to the mere translation. And Rashi is based on a Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin. So let's look at the Rashi together toward the end of the Rashi commentary, the Lo Nitradei. He was fasting when he came, Kishaolu Eretz Yisrael, Lilmoid Mipi Rabbi Yochanan, Vamoroim Shem Eretz Yisrael, when he came to learn from Rabbi Yochanan and the other Amoraic scholars in Israel, Lohoyu B'nei Machlikis. Their Torah style was not one of contention. Rather, v'noifin zeh lozeh kishemen, they were smooth and easy to one another. You might say they were complementary of one another, like oil. Kidamrina masech besanhedrin umiyashvin es ateomim beloy kushos upirukin. They would resolve issues raised by one another through explanations without, we'll say, without a contentious, a warlike method of study. So that Bavel is characterized in Masechta Sanhedrin as mechablin, ones that try to outdo the other one, one upsmanship, if you will. The Torah style of study in Israel was very different, and this is what Rabbi Zerah was trying to absorb. He was trying to release himself from the style of Torah study that he had become so used to in Bavel, and transfer his methodology to the methods of Eretz Yisrael. And that required his fasting to arouse a heavenly assistance that he was so desirous of. Yosef Meo Achranisa de Lolishkoiv Ribelozer Bishone Venathlini Luya Mili de Tzibura. He fasted another 100 fasts, so that Ribelozer, this is the great Amora, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedos, who was the leader of the Jewish community at that time. My assumption is this is the same Rabbi Elazar that was brought in to replace Reish Lakish to study alongside Rabbi Yochanan. Even though the Gemara that we saw in our recent Shiurim describing Rabbi Yochanan's disappointment with Rabbi Elazar as a replacement, nevertheless, Rabbi Elazar himself was a great, great man and became the leader of the Jewish community in Israel. And as far as Rabbi Zeir was concerned, the longer that he stays alive and stays in office, so public responsibility will not fall upon me. So he was praying and fasting that Rabbi Elazar should stay to experience longevity and thereby enable Rabbi Zeira to be totally dedicated to pure Torah study and not engage in the communal responsibilities. The Yosef Mea Achrini, the Lolish Nishla Be Nura Degenim, and he fasted another 100 fasts so that the fires of purgatory should have no effect upon him. And in following that last point, Kol Talsin Yoime, every 30 days, Havabodik Nafshei, he subjected himself to a physical test to see whether or not fire would have any effect upon him. Shogar Tanura, he would fire up an oven. Solik V'yosef Begavei, V'lohave Sholto Beinura, and he sat inside a fiery furnace, and the fire had no effect upon him. Yumachad Yavu Bei Rabbanan Aino. One day, the rabbis literally placed their eye upon him. We refer to that by the term Ayin Hora, the evil eye. The evil eye doesn't necessarily come from a source of evil, but it comes from a source of, we'll say, of jealousy, or sometimes a source of amazement, wonderment. And certainly this was a wondrous experience. And the rabbis noted that. And that had a negative effect. The Ichrichu Shake, and his leg became singed. And the Korule, and as a result of that, it appears that it might have this might have resulted in his needing an amputation, and hence his physical height shortened. And they referred to Rabbi Zeira henceforth the korole cotton chorech shake, the short one with the burnt leg. Omar Yehuda, Omar Rav, my dichtiv, Rav Yehuda, in the name of Rav, raised a query. What is the meaning of the following pasuk? Mi ha'ish hechacham v'yovein es zois v'asher diber pi Hashem elov v'yagido almo avdo ha'aretz. So the gist of the pasuk is, who is the wise one that understands and that can explain why the land was destroyed? We know that the Jewish people suffered the destruction of a first Beis HaMikdash, a second Beis HaMikdash, and the question is, why was the second temple destroyed? Why was the land of Israel laid in ruins? Davar Zeh, this matter. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Omru Chachomim Velo Pirshuhu. Omru Chachomim is a reference to what the Pasuk said, Mi Ha'ish HaChachom. Who is the wise man? But no one was able, velo pirshu, they weren't able to explain. Omru Nevi'im, velo pirshu. The Pasuk had said, Vashir diber pi Hashem elav, the one unto whom the Almighty speaks. Well, the Almighty speaks to prophets. So the prophets were sought out for an explanation, and they could offer no explanation. Ashir pirshu HaKadosh Baruch Hu bi'atzmo, until the Almighty himself explained. And here, once again, we cite from that same section in the prophet Yirmiyo, Perek Tes. The Pasuk says, in response to this question of Al Mo'ovdo Haaretz, Vayomer Hashem. Let me read that line again. If the Gemara v'lo pirshu ad shepirshu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's one. No one was able to explain it until the Almighty Himself explained. As the Pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem al ozvam es toirasi asher nasati lifnehem. Now, literally translated, the Almighty says, the destruction was because of the my Torah that I gave you that you abandoned. Now, superficially, if that is the understanding, namely, the Jewish people no longer study Torah, wouldn't the wise men of that era or the prophets have been able to know that, have been able to answer? If asked, why was their destruction, could they not have answered? Well, the people stopped learning Torah. So, but yet they weren't able to answer. So apparently, the simple translation is not really the case. So here the Gemara explains, Omer of Yudah Marav, they were learning Torah, but shelo birchu b'Torah tchila. They didn't say the blessing that one is expected to say before the study of Torah. Rashi here says on the second line from the top, at the end of the line, v'kevan delo mevorchi, since they didn't say a bracha, their lack of a recitation, Galia the Torah reveals their mindset, she'eno matana chashuva lahem, that the Torah is not considered a gift of significance. In the Torah bracha that we say before the study of Torah, we say asher bochar banu mikol amim v'nosan lanu es toroso. V'nosan is an expression, he gave us. The word nosan is the same root as the word matona. Matona is a gift. If you have something that is precious, so that will instill in you the desire to say a blessing. If something is not significant, so you'll open the Torah and you'll study it immediately. And that was what characterized that generation, that they were studying Torah, but it lacked significance to them. It was something too, we'll say, too common or taken lightly. And so can you imagine that? Not because of not Torah study, it's a matter of attitude. And for that, there was the destruction of the land. The explanation that we're giving in this Gemara is based on the commentary of the Ran in Maseches Nedorim, who points out on the Pei Aleph Omed Aleph in Maseches Nedorim that of course they were studying Torah, therefore anyone who was asked couldn't possibly say that they stopped studying Torah. The problem, the deficiency, was one that was internal, something that any outside observer could not possibly notice. So the Ran there in Nedarim echoes the words of Rashi that you see over here that we read, and he says there, and I'm going to read from the Ran in Maseches Nedarim, the fact that they weren't saying Torah, klomar shelohoisa haTorah chashuva b'neim kolkach she'ei roi levorech olea shelohi oiskin bo lishmo. See, here the Ran adds another touch, another point, that they study Torah, but it wasn't significant in their eyes. That Rashi already said, and the Ran adds that they didn't study it with the purest of intentions. That's, they weren't learning lishma. And as a result of that, that they were studying Torah for what we call non-pure motivation, made for personal advancement, for knocking down the next guy, who knows what, but something that's less than pure motivation, they therefore treated Torah study in an offhanded fashion. Vahainu lo holchu ba klomar bekavanasa ulishma. And the reference to their not walking in the Torah ways is this internal element, that they were not studying it with the purest of motivations. And the Ran was quoting in that passage the words of the great Rabbeinu Yoina, and he says, "Elu divrei harav v'chosid zal v'noyim ruyin l'mi shomram." And he, the Rabbeinu Yoina, was a very pious rabbinic figure. He is worthy of offering such an explanation as we just said. Let us now continue in our Gemara. Omar Rav Chama, my dichtiv belev navon tanua chochmo v'kerev ksilim tivodea. Now the Gemara breaks down the pasuk. Belev navon tanua chochmo, in the heart of the wise man will rest wisdom. Ze Talmud Chochem ben Talmud Chochem. That's a reference to a Torah scholar whose father was a Torah scholar. Uvekerev ksilim tivoda, amongst the fools, it will be known. Rashi on the third line from the top says, Modia lakol umispoya bekisra. This is a reference to Zed Talmud Chochem ben Amoretz. This is a reference to a Torah scholar whose father was an ignoramus. And hence you have a description of someone who gained Torah scholarship, but he is from a family of Amoratzim. So he is, with that description in mind, Omar Ula tells us, Hainu Damri, and it's based on this that people say, Estira Belegina Kish Kish Karya. Estira is a coin. A legina is a vessel. A singular coin in an otherwise empty vessel. Kish Kish is an onomatopoeia. It's a reference to a banging sound. It bangs and makes a lot of noise. Rashi says on the fourth line from top, Kish Kish Karya, Miskashkeshu Mashmiya Kol, it bangs and makes a noise. V'im Hoya Mole, if the vessel was filled with coins, so one more coin, if you shake such a vessel filled with coins, Lo Hoya Mashmiya Kol, would make no noise. Likewise, an individual who comes from a family of Talmidei Chachamim, doesn't stand out. He doesn't create a great contrast, and therefore this idea that he doesn't make a lot of noise. However, when you have a Talmud Chochem who comes from a family of ignoramuses, paralleling the words of the Ritva, it's an unusual phenomenon. It's not the derech to have Torah coming from a predecessor that is an ignoramus. So when that does happen, it creates a great public awareness, and that's the reference to the noise that Ula just referred to in his analogy. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Le Rabbi Yirmiyahu the Rabbi Zera, my dichtiv katan v'gadol sham hu v'eved chofshi me'adonav. That is the pasuk, and in this pasuk we see reference to the young and the adult are there. Atulo yadina de katan v'gadol sham hu. Do we not know that the young and adults are there? Ella, rather we extend the pasuk beyond its translation level. He who diminishes himself, who shows humility, who minimizes himself in favor of Torah study in this world, naase gadol le'olam haba. So you have the word katan v'gadol, a reference to behavior in this world and its result in the next world. He will become great in the world to come, as we said. The chol hameisim atzmo ke'eved al divrei Torah b'lamazeh. He who makes himself like one who is enslaved to Torah in this world, naaseh chofshi la'olam haba. Then he will be like a free man in the world to come. Before continuing in the Gemara, we glance at the side in the margin where we have our nosei / mivne heading. In one word, we entitle the upcoming sugya, Rebbe Chiya. The diamonds that you see represent Chalukas HaGemora L'Noisim HaBoyim, the breakdown of the Gemara into the following topics, three topics. One, Hitztainus Rebbi Chiya Kemar B'Torah, the outstanding quality of Rebbi Chiya as one who disseminated Torah. Number two, Mekoyma B'Nesifta Rebbi Chiya, the heavenly location of Rebbi Chiya in the Mesifta Derekiah, the Torah study academy of the firmament. Number three, Koichi B'Tfila, the power that he had with regard to prayer. So now the Gemara. Reish Lakish have a Mitzayin Ma'arta de Rabbanan. The word Mitzayin is to create awareness through a sign, or in this case, he would, or a marker. He would mark off me'oras, or caves in which rabbinic figures were interred. The necessity of marking off a cave. Cave naturally is beneath ground surface. The deceased communicate defilement to those who walk above their burial locations, the crypt in which they're buried. Above ground, the defilement will find itself. Without getting into details of the laws of Tuma, it's necessary to mark off so as to enable those who need to guard themselves from defilement to know that over here one shall not walk. So Reish Lakish was engaged in that activity of marking off graves of rabbis so that one would not encounter this defilement. Kimotan Marte de Rebchia when he got to the cave in which Rebbi Chiya was buried, he couldn't find the spot. In other words, he doesn't want to just mark off a general area, which, based on the Gemara Maseches Nozir, is something forbidden to do, to expand the area of defilement. So it's important to minimize it, to restrict it to where there is actual defilement. Toward those ends, one would have to know where the body was located. And Reish Lakish, when it came to the Me'ora, where Rebbi Chiya was interred, he couldn't find the spot. Cholash Daite. He had a feeling of despair. And what's the reason for his feeling? Omar, he declared, Rebbi Shimon ben Rebbeinu shel Olam, O Lord, God of the universe, lo pilpalti Torah kamoso, did I not engage in Torah analysis like him? Is my inability to find him a reflection of such a gap between himself and me in terms of Torah proficiency? Yotso baskol v'yomelo, a heavenly voice announced, Torah kamoso pilpalto. As far as Torah analysis, you are his equal. You are like him. It is your inability to find the spot in which Rebbi Chiya is interred is not a function of his being greater than you in Torah scholarship. However, Torah kamosa lo ribatzta, but as far as Torah dissemination, that you were not his equal. He surpassed you in that area. And now, as we said in our introductory remarks, we've begun a long point. And here we go back a couple years, so to speak, from Reish Lakish to the time that Rebbi Chiya was alive. Kihavu Minsu, Rebbi Chiya of Rebbi Chiya. Rebbi Chanina was another great Amoraic figure from the first generation of Amoroyim. When Rebbi Chanina and Rebbi Chiya would Minsu, literally is to fight or have a conflict with one another, it most likely is in the context of arguing over a point of Torah scholarship. Omar le Rabbi Hanino le Rabbi Chiya. Later we'll see Rabbi Chiya's response. That's what the squiggle underline here highlights. Rabbi Hanino says to Rabbi Chiya, "Bahadi didi komitzis, are you arguing with me or like against my position?" Chas v'sholami mishtakcho Torah Israel. Heaven forbid if we would arrive at a situation where Torah would be forgotten from Israel. Mahadar no la mi pil puli. I would return it through my analysis. Exactly what that means, one can offer different explanations. One possible explanation would be that if you have a generation of people that are forgetting Torah as a function of their abandoning Torah, if you don't study Torah, you've abandoned it in favor of other things, so you're going to forget Torah. So in order to have the Torah returned, namely those people who abandon Torah, you want to draw them back into the Torah. So Rabbi Hanina says, through my Torah scholarship, my Torah prowess, I will impress the masses with my Torah analysis. That certainly has the effect of showing the population that Torah is a deep, worthy area of study that can match any other intellectual pursuit, and through that I will impress Torah on the masses so that they shall return to it. This concept, by the way, I think in a somewhat unrelated fashion, but you can see it in Maseches Temura, if I'm not mistaken, on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. There, the Gemara describes a situation where, after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, a great amount of Torah was forgotten. There was an oral tradition of Torah study, and a great amount of that was forgotten. And Osniel ben Kenaz, through his pilpul, through his Torah analysis, was able to restore that which was forgotten. So that would be a different explanation than what we had mentioned before in terms of the masses abandoning Torah. But simply, if a situation of Torah ignorance would arise, I would, through my Torah incisiveness and analysis, be able to restore that which was forgotten. Omar le Rabbi Chiya le Rabbi Hanina. So Rabbi Chiya, responding to Rabbi Hanina, says, "Bahadi didi komitzis, are you arguing against me?" And notice we have a long marking. This is all describing Rabbi Chiya's approach. The Avdi, I, says Rabbi Chiya, I would create a situation, l'tura d'lo tishtakach Mishrael, call this preventive medicine. Whereas Rabbi Hanina enters the picture with, in a situation where Torah had been forgotten, Rabbi Chiya, preventive medicine, I would create a situation that Torah would not be forgotten at the outset. Maya vidna, what would I do? Azlino v'shadino kisna. I would go and plant kisna, flax seeds. From the flax reeds that grow, v'gadilno nishbi. I would then weave nets, traps, nets in hunting, in the hunting sense. V'tzayadno tovi, and I would capture deer. U'machilno b'Israel yasmi, and I would feed their flesh after slaughtering them. Deer are kosher animals, and I would feed their flesh to orphans. The skins, v'arichno megilto, I would from their skins create parchment. V'kasavno chamisha chumshi, and on their parchment I would write in five separate scrolls the five books of the Torah. V'salikno l'maso, and I would go to a community where there are no elementary Torah education. There are no malamde tinoikis. Salikno means I would go up to l'maso, a city. U'makrino chamisha yenuki b'chamisha chumshi, and I would teach five different children, each one a separate book of the Torah. Umasnino shiso yanuki shiso sidre, and I would teach six separate children, each one a separate order of the oral Torah, namely of the Mishnayos, six Shisa, six Sidri orders, the six orders of the Mishnayos. The Amarno Lahu, and I would tell these children, Ad de Hadarno, by the time I come back, means until I come back, Vasino, until I return and come back, Akru Adodi Vasno Adodi, each one of you, that which you have learned, shall teach the others. So that these children will have each one learned from the other that which I taught them. A very interesting phenomenon that you see here is Rabbi Chiya himself, the great rabbi, taught only one of the children their respective sections. In other words, only one child learned Sefer Brachos from Rabbi Chiya. That child was then charged with teaching the other children Sefer Brachos. The other children didn't learn from Rabbi Chiya, but Rabbi Chiya nevertheless relied on each child to teach over to the next child that which he learned. So Rabbi Chiya tells them that by the time I come back, I expect each one of you have to taught your material to the others. The Avdi Lo, the Torah, the Lo Tishtachu Misraim. Through that, through my emphasis on what we call elementary Torah education, I will prevent a situation of Torah from being forgotten. Hainu Diyoma Rebbe, it's with this in mind that Rebbe Rebbe Yehuda Nosi, who was the giant of that generation, proclaimed, Kama Gedolim Maisechia, how great are the ways, the approach of Rebbe Chiya. Omar Le, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi asks Rabbi, Afilu Mimor, you're saying that Rabbi Chiya is greater, is so great, is he greater than you? Omar Le, yes, he is greater than me. Afilu Me'aba, is he greater than Rabbi Yossi? Omar Le, Rabbi said, Chas V'Shalom, heaven forbid, Lo Tei Kazois, Israel, don't say such a thing. Don't suggest that Rabbi Chiya would be greater than Rabbi Yossi. Now we go to our next diamond, the next section, Omar Rabbi Zero. Here we'll discuss the position of Rabbi Chiya in the heavenly yeshiva. Omar Rabbi Zero, Emesh, last night, near Eli, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chiya appeared to me in a dream. Omarti lo, Eitzel mi atatakua, where are you planted, so to speak, in the heaven, in the world of souls? Omar li Eitzel Rabbi Yochanan. Now we have a lineup of great rabbinic figures, where each one is relative to the next one. So Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yochanan says, I am next to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Eitzel me, and Rabbi Yochanan is next to whom? Eitzel Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai Eitzel me, Eitzel Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina Eitzel me, Eitzel Rabbi Chiya. It's interesting to note the positioning here of Rabbi Chanina, in fact, next to Rabbi Chiya. They were just featured in the previous section. Omar Tilo, Rabbi Zero says, I said to him, Rabbi Yochanan Eitzel Rabbi Chiya, lo, you had Rabbi Yochanan next to Rabbi Yanai, but why is Rabbi Yochanan not next to Rabbi Chiya? Omar Li, so Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina said back to me, before going on, let me just add that in the question of Rabbi Zero, was it not fitting for Rabbi Yochanan to be next to Rabbi Chiya? His question really is Rabbi Chiya not, is Rabbi Yochanan not great enough to merit being next to the outstanding Rabbi Chiya? As you can see in the line of rabbis, and we didn't mention this before, but there was a certain spirit of ascending, of rising from lesser to greater. And Rabbi Zera, who actually you find in other Gemaras, Rabbi Zera, he came to Eretz Israel and was very impressed with the scholarship of Rabbi Yochanan, and he says, wasn't Rabbi Yochanan worthy to be next to Rabbi Chiya? So Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chiya says, Biasar de Zekukin de Nura, Uberurin de Esha, Man Mael Bar Nafchole Tamon. He says it in a place where there's Zekukin de Nura, which are like bolts of fire, and Uberurin de Esha, and torches, flaming torches, which is a description of the Torah intensity that was present in Reb Chiyo's vicinity. Is that a place for the Bar Napcha, literally the son of the blacksmith? That's a reference to Reb Yochanan. Reb Yochanan was in all likelihood the son of a blacksmith, but he's not, we'll say, at their level, and hence that's why Reb Yochanan is not found by Reb Chiyo. Omar, I just want to point out that parenthetically, this expression of Zikukin Denura was an expression that you can find in Maseches Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin with Beis, an expression that Reb Yochanan himself used describing the Torah experience that transpired between Rav and Rabbi Yudah Nossi. And in that scenario, Rabbi Yochanan himself said, between Rav and I was present when Rav and Rebbe were engaged in Torah study, and it was like, and I was sitting far behind. In other words, he himself diminished himself, so to speak, using this very expression of Zikukin Denura, the bolts of fire that passed between Rebbe and Rav in their Torah learning. That's, once again, you can see in Chulin Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin Omid Beis. In our Gemara, we continue. Omar Rav Chaviva Ishtoili, and here we have an incident. Notice we have a long marking. Ishtoili Rav Chaviva Bar Surmaki. There, you have two people with the same name, Rav Chaviva, but so Rav Chaviva is saying it was told to me by another Rav Chaviva, the son of Surmaki. Chazi li ahu mirabonan davashchiach eliyahu gabei. I met up with someone who remains anonymous in this story, but he apparently is a great enough figure that the angel or the prophet slash angel Eliyahu was frequent by him. Diletzafra havu shapirunene ulaurta damyan kide miklin benura. I met him in the morning, this Hahum Rabbanan, this rabbinic figure. In the morning, his eyes looked okay. Shapirunene, his eyes were fine. And in the evening, it looked to me like his eyes were burnt with fire. Omar Amri Lei Maihai. I asked him, what's this? What's with your eyes? The Omar Li, and the anonymous rabbinic figure responded, the Amri Lei Lelio. I requested of Elio, Achvi li Rabbonon, Kisalki le Misifta Durakia. Show me, this is a type of, let's say, heavenly experience. Show me the rabbis in heaven when they arise to the heavenly yeshiva. We're, of course, going to repeat our disclaimer that we've mentioned many times throughout Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shurim, that in many agadic sections you have material that is related in, we'll say, in mundane terms and human terms, but to assume it in a physical exact fashion might be minimizing or underestimating what is really happening. But for convention purposes, for purposes of convention, we'll restrict ourselves to translation, but in order to bestow proper respect and honor to these Gemaras, we're issuing this disclaimer, mentioning that you have to appreciate eventually these kind of Gemaras on a much deeper spiritual level. But in the meantime, we have what we have, the translation, and you have this Ha'um Rabbanan asking of Elio, show me
where the rabbis are when they go up to the heavenly yeshiva. Apparently there's movement, and we'll see that in the next couple of lines of the Gemara, between where the rabbis are located other than when they're in the heavenly yeshiva. So there's movement back and forth, and I want to see where they are when they go up to the heavenly yeshiva. Omar Li. So Elio answered me. Bekulu motzis listekuli behu. Amongst all of them, you will be able to see. Labar mi guharka de Rabbi Chiya de lotes tachlobe. With the exception of the chariot, the guharka, the chariot that carries Rabbi Chiya, that you shall not look upon. Do not gaze upon that. Well, Maisi Manayo, what would the sign be for me to know not to gaze upon it? Bekulu azli malachi kisalki v'nachti. With regard to all the other rabbis, there are service angels that accompany their chariots when they go up and come down. Labar miguharka de Rabbi Chiya, with the exception of Rabbi Chiya's chariot, de menafshe solik v'nochis, it moves on its own without the assistance of service angels. So when you notice a chariot approaching that doesn't have accompanying its service angels, stop looking. Lo motzi leukme anafshoi. This Harum Rabbanan says, I couldn't restrain myself. Istakli ba, and I looked. Asu tre butiti denura. There came forth two bolts of fire. U machyuhu lahu gavro, and smote that man, meaning himself, v'saminu liene, and blinded his eyes. The next day I went and prostrated myself over his cave. Amino masnis misnaisa demor masnina, and I said that to Reb Chiya, I said, I study your brises. Reb Chiya, along with Reb Hoshaya, was one of the authors of Tanaic literature. The Tanaic literature is subsequent to the Mishnayos. So he says, I study your Tanaic literature that Rashi refers to as the Tosefta. And in that merit, I was healed. Elio, this is now our third diamond. I should just point out, just to tie things together, the redness of the eyes that was that Rav Chaviva Bar Sumaki noted was apparently at the point where his eyes had been afflicted by the bolts of fire, and he then was healed. As mentioned earlier, the third diamond introduces the greatness of Reb Chiya in the context of prayer. Elio Havashchiach b'mesifta de Rebbe. Elio was a regular in the yeshiva of Rebbe. Throughout the Shas, by the way, you find Elio being present or familiar with a number of different great Talmudic figures. We just mentioned a moment ago someone anonymous, Ahu Mirabonon. Here we have Rabbi Chiya described as a regular in the yeshiva of Rebbe. Yuma chad reish yarcha have. One day it was Rosh Chodesh. It was the beginning of a month. Noga le veloasa. He was delayed. Noga is an expression referring to lateness. He was delayed and didn't come. Amar le my time on noga le lamar. Rebbe asked, why were you delayed? Amar le. So Rebbe. So Elio Anovi answered, Ad ukimno le Avram, and in the next few, couple of words, we'll see how Elio Anovi was involved with arousing our patriarchs Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov from their slumber, if you will. Of course, as we said before, these are concepts that are beyond the mere translation, but we'll translate in the meantime. He says, it took me time. I was preoccupied with getting them, the patriarchs, ready for prayer. Ad ukimno la'avram umashino yodei umatzli, until I arose him. Mashino is to wash his hands, and he would pray. Umagnino le, and then I would put him back to rest. V'chein liYitzchak, v'chein liYaakov. And I repeated this with Yitzchak and with Yaakov. It took me time, and that's why I wasn't. That's why I was delayed. Question: V'lukminu b'hadi adoli. Why not arouse all three at the same time? Savri, we takfi barachami umaisi le lemoshiach belozimne. The response is that having all three of the Ovos pray simultaneously would be such a powerful type prayer that the eventual coming of Moshiach would arrive prematurely. And therefore I have no permission from heaven to arouse them together. Omar Le, V'yesh Tugmoson Bola Mazeh. So Rebbe asked Eliyahu, does there exist a parallel to these people, to the Ovos, that is? Does there exist a parallel amongst our people today? Omar Le, Eliyahu answered, Iko, Rebbe Chiyo Banov. There is. There's Rebbe Chiyo and his sons. Gozar Rebbe Tanisa. So Rebbe ruled, instituted a day of fast, a day of fasting. When you study Maseches Tainis, you know that days of public fasting are accompanied by, we'll call by special or added prayers. So he declared a day of fasting, we'll say a type of excuse to summon Rebbe Chiyo and his sons to lead the public prayers. Achtinu Rebbe Chiyo Bonov, and he had them descend to the place where the prayers are led. Omar Mashiv Haruach. In the Shmona Esrei prayer, he merely uttered the words Mashiv Haruach. He said those words V'nosh Vazik, and the wind started to blow. The word Mashiv HaRuach, Ruach is the wind, the blowing of the wind. So he said those words, and the wind started to blow. Omar Moirid HaGeshem, and he said those words, which are part of the winter season prayer. The Osa Mitran, as soon as he said that, rain started to fall. Now, as you study, as I'm sure most of you are familiar with the text of the Shmona Esrei prayer, following the reference to rain, there is reference made to the arising, the resurrection of the dead. Kimoto lemeimar mechaye hamesim, when he came to the, call it the signature blessing of that section, we say Baruch Ato Hashem mechaye hamesim, rogash almo, the earth started to tremble. The trembling of the earth being, we'll say, a sign that the dead are starting to awaken. Amri Barakia Man Goli Rosa Be'Amo, and the question arose in heaven, who revealed this secret to the world, namely the secret of Rebbe Chiyo Bonov joining together in prayer that could lead to the resurrection of the dead? Who revealed that? Amri, they said Elio. Asyul Elio Machyu Shisin Pulsi Venura. They brought in Elio and they smote him with 60 bolts of fire. Osa idmi lahu keduba denura ol binayu vitardinu. He came and appeared to them, meaning to Reb Chiyo Bonov, who were in the midst of prayer, as a fiery bear, and that caused them a sudden fright, and they dispersed. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a new topic heading, the Nosei, and which reads Shmuel, the great Amora. Shmuel was a colleague of Rav, first generation of Amoraim. Shmuel Roifo Shel Rebbe. Shmuel was a personal doctor of Rebbe. For Rebbe Rosalu Lohatzlocha, Lahasmicha Shmuel, and Rebbe desired to grant rabbinic ordination to Shmuel. And rabbinic ordination, we made reference to this at the beginning of today's shiur. It's a type of power that is granted through tradition from earlier generation to succeeding generation to rule in certain areas of halachic ruling that otherwise, if you don't receive this this ordination, this smicha, one would not be allowed to rule in those areas. For those who are familiar, one of those areas is the issue of knas. And we know that in Bovel they did not dan dine knosses because there was no smicha over there. The Gemara, Shmuel Yarchino Asya de Rebbe Havye. Shmuel Yarchino. The word Yarchino is, we had just earlier the expression Reish Yarcha. Literally, it has to do with the Yoreach, the moon. To present matters in a brief fashion, Shmuel, and Rashi explains all of this, Shmuel was very familiar with the movement of heavenly objects. If you want to refer to him as an astronomer, so be it. But he was very familiar with the heavens. And he was, in addition to that area of expertise, he also happened to be a doctor. He was, Asya is the doctor of Rebbe. Cholash, Rebbe, Benen Rebbe, suffered from an eye ailment. Omar le, ilmi loch sama. So Shmuel suggested, should I fill your eye, put some type of sama, medicine, directly into your eye? Omar le, lo yachona. Rebbe said, no, I can't handle that. Ashtele mishtar, so should I, second suggestion, should I smear it above your eye? And whatever influence the medicine will have, that will be effective. Amar le lo yachilna, no, I can't handle that either. Have a moisiv le begufsa de samoni tusi beisadja of itzi. So what did Shmuel do? He put the potion, the medicine, in a gufsa, in a hollow tube, and placed the hollow tube full of medicine under Rebbe's pillow, and the, we'll call the medicinal fumes or whatever, had the therapeutic desired effect. Have komitzar Rebbe lemismeche. Rebbe had strained himself in an attempt to grant smicha, grant ordination to Shmuel. Velo have a mistaya milsa in it, but it never worked out. Rashi says, Velo have a mistaya milsa, shoysa asha, the trefes, alo hoyu hachachomim nesofim. In order to communicate smicha, according to the second pshat of Rashi, it appears that you need to have a group of rabbis present. And it just never worked out that Rebbe had Shmuel in his presence along with other rabbis in order to convey the smicha. Omar le, Shmuel saw Rebbe was upset, and he said, "Lo litzar mor, have no concern. Do not be upset." And why not? L'didi chozi li sifra dodo marishon. I saw the special book, the special scroll of Adam Harishon, first man, uksiv bei, and in this book. Now, in this book, this is known. There's a pasuk that says Ze Sefer Toldos HaAdam, and in that book there is a revelation to Adam what will be in all subsequent generations. And in that it says, and I saw this, says Shmuel, it says as following: Shmuel Yarchina. We continue at the top of that pavov. Chochim Yiskuri v'Rebbe Lo Yiskuri. He will be referred to as a scholar, but not by the term, by the title Rebbe. Rebbe is the formal title that someone who has received smicha is referred to thereby. What else does it say there? Did it say in that book, the aso, the Rebbe al yodote, and the healing of Rebbe will come through Shmuel, through me. What else does it say? What else did it say in that? Rebbe Reb Nosson Soif Mishnah. It will say predicted that Rebbe Yudah Nosi and another late generation, final generation Tana, Rebbe Nosson, represented the end of the Tanaic period. Rav Ashi v'Ravina Soif Hayra, and it also says there that they will be the end of the Amoraic period. Rashi elaborates. We're not going to get into that now, but it's well worth learning it. The description of how Mishnayos developed and how the Gemara developed, and that Ravina and Ravashi represent the end of that Amoraic period. The Simonech, the memory device to remember that, Adavo el Mikdashay Kale Avina Lachrisam. Rashi explains how this mnemonic works. The Simonech Adavo el Mikdashay Kale Mikdashay Simona de Rav Ashi. So the word Mikdashi sounds a little bit like at the end of the word Mikdashay Ashi sounds a little similar, so you have that mnemonic element. And the word Avina, that is Simona de Ravina, and in the Pasuk it said La'achrisam, that means the end, Sof, Simen Sof Harah, the end of that particular period. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Mark Demoris, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.